As the LA riots continue, Democrat Senator John Fetterman leads charge to break party lines.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It's a Tuesday that feels like a Friday. Will's joining me in studio today, and we'll have some special guests later on talking about some of the great work the ACLJ is doing. We'll talk about Greta Thunberg and her being, sit back home peacefully after being, she hasn't had a phone in a few days, so she was pretty upset about that. I saw that. They took away my phone. They made them throw their phones in the ocean.
Kind of love that.
Yeah, it's kind of great. Because it's like, how do you slap down an influencer more than being like, we are taking away your smartphone? Kind of great. Look, we're going to discuss that going on. Of course, the violent LA riots are still happening, different kind of aspects, but you also have now a pushback. You have pushback from, it feels like your favorite Thanksgiving uncle who just sits down and is like, I got some hot takes for you. Okay. My tone has changed over the last couple of years, and old red-pilled Fetterman is out there. John Fetterman now saying that this is ridiculous, that we have taken this too far, and the Democrats are going to be the one that pay the price for it. Here was his tweet exactly. I unapologetically stand for free speech, peaceful demonstration, and immigration, but this is not that. Look, I agree with him on that. This is anarchy and true chaos. My party loses the moral high ground when we refuse to condemn setting cars on fire, destroying buildings, and assaulting law enforcement. I mean, it's almost like he is setting up himself to become an independent, then become a Republican, and move his way into there, because this is not what the talking points right now actually coming from the left. It's not the talking points coming from Gavin Newsom, the own governor here. He's more saying embrace it, embrace the chaos.
That's right. And they are actually the state. They filed their lawsuit yesterday against the Trump administration, trying to get them to get rid of the National Guard there. But what this also boils down to is kind of what we talked about yesterday. Some of the talking points you're hearing out of the Democrat mayor of LA, as well as the governor of the state of California, is they're saying that if ICE would leave and the National Guard would leave, the chaos would go away. Well, that actually is precisely the reason that President Trump felt like he needed to send in the National Guard, because they are saying that the federal law enforcement of our immigration laws needs to stop. When he talked about a rebellion, that goes right into that language that's in the Insurrection Act that says that a rebellion can be when it is impossible to carry out and actually enforce the nation's laws, federal law. When they are saying things like ICE needs to get out of California, they are saying you are not allowed to enforce federal law here. And that is exactly why the president said it was necessary for him to federalize the National Guard. So even the talking points are conflicting when they're saying we don't need that here if ICE would just leave. That actually feeds into the president's argument. When you have someone like Senator Fetterman saying, my party loses the moral high ground when we refuse to condemn setting cars on fire, the most condemnation coming from the left is saying, well, the only reason it's happening is because of Donald Trump and ICE. Well,
it reminds me of those demilitarized cities that happened, or depoliced cities. What were they called? Those areas, and it just erupted into chaos.
In Portland, they had it. Right?
I forget what the words were. There was a specific word. Autonomous
regions.
Regions. Yeah. It's starting to give me flashbacks to that, where it's like if there was just no cops, everything would be fine.
They called it the CHOP.
The CHOP
in Portland, the Capitol Hill Occupied Protest, which was an autonomous zone. That should have stuck with us, that name.
Yeah, that shows you how our brains are overwhelmed with a lot of material. But look, I've been pretty critical on both the right and the left on this, because I think there is certainly an area in the middle we all need to be talking about. I know it hasn't made Will happy too much with some of the comments I've said, but I do think we have to be careful here. I think we got to make sure we're still respecting people that are human beings. And some of the verbiage coming out of the right, I'm going to talk about in the next segment. And I know some of you are not going to be happy. And some of it has to do with people who are on very similar networks as us, and people who we've been friendly with over the years. But you know what? There is a point where it becomes, I don't believe, a very Christian thing to do. So we're going to talk about that coming up. 1-800-684-3110. back to Seculo. Phone lines are lighting up at 1-800-684-3110. I would love for you to call in. We got four lines open right now. Of course, we are talking about still the LA riots and how it is starting to split people, including John Fetterman, who obviously made his statement saying that his party loses the moral high ground if we encourage this kind of violent rhetoric. Again, I unapologetically stand for free speech, peaceful demonstration, and immigration. This is not that. And again, jumps onto my party loses the moral high ground when we refuse to condemn setting cars on fire, destroying buildings, and assaulting law enforcement. So that is coming from John Fetterman, again, who's someone who has had quite the turn over the last few years. Someone who's probably still a very true Democrat, a traditional Democrat.
Right.
Again, being pro-Israel did not mean you were a hard right conservative up until the last couple of years. You had someone like Chuck Schumer, who is one of the most proud Zionist part of the Senate. And then, of course, he had to settle down his opinions over the last few years to appease the far left that was coming after his party. That being said, also, because I don't want to pull any punches. I want to be honest with people and tell you where I feel in terms of Democrats, hard left, hard right, in this situation. This is a tweet from Charlie Kirk, our ex-post, as Will would say.
Which one would I say?
I know, you usually say tweet. I know. Right, I know. I was just a joke. For the long-time listeners, Will, it was a joke. Oh, you do need to issue a correction.
Oh, I do need to issue a correction real quick.
So, correction.
That was, especially, we do actually have a very large audience and member group in the state of Washington. I incorrectly said that CHOP was in Portland, the Capitol Hill occupied protest zone or autonomous zone. That was actually in Seattle. Portland did have an autonomous zone very similar to CHOP, but it was not designated that as it was. Chaz was the alternate name, alt name of Seattle. That's Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Same name, same place, not Portland, Seattle. Correction issued. Both bad.
Correction. I know your father. What's that from, everybody? Put that in the chat. All right. So, look, I said that I think the left has gone too far, and I think you've seen Fetterman kind of play that person in the middle. I think it's important to have voices like that. This is from Charlie Kirk, who, again, is on a lot of the same networks we're on. He's on the morning. I got no negative feelings towards the guy. I don't know him at all. But he put, it's time, this was yesterday, it's time to ban third world immigration, legal or illegal. We've reached our limit, a huge cultural, educational, housing, financial, and essential services problem to fix now because of it. Okay, fine. But then it says we need a net zero immigration moratorium with a ban on all third worlders. I think we are going desperately close and too close to the flame here when you start labeling huge swaths of human beings as third worlders. I don't like that kind of terminology. As someone who talks a lot about your faith, Charlie, I know you do. And look, I respect a lot of the work you've done. I think that some of these things are to get clicks. Some of these are to get views. And I think the same from the left. I don't know how much. I mean, they may truly believe it. That's fine. But I think we need to be careful when you do look at the difference between people who have immigrated here. And again, he's not talking necessarily about illegal immigration. Talking right. about people legally immigrated here, and then you start labeling them in a way that is dehumanizing.
And at the ACLJ, we have always called for comprehensive immigration reform because we think that immigration, when done legally, when those that have to wait in line for a long time are rewarded for doing the process legally, is a good thing. And I that's where I would disagree with Charlie Kirk. Those that are coming and waiting in line and doing what they need to do, that this whole third world or disparaging comment
isn't
a reflective reality of the immigrants that have come to this country legally
and
doing the ones that come here from third world countries that are business owners, that work hard, that embody the American dream and American spirit. That is a good thing. That is a positive thing on the nation. And I know that on the right, and many people that watch this broadcast may disagree with that, that there is a big movement, like Charlie Kirk is saying, to pause all immigration.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that talking point. I don't like it because I believe we are the melting pot. We are the great melting pot, the country that always has been built on that. However, I do have a problem when you start demeaning human life. And I think when you start labeling people in mass on either side of this issue, and it really shouldn't be in either side of this issue, and you're taking moments like this and saying, hey, we need to ban all third worlders, you start to play into the game that they want you to play. They want you to come off like a racist. Okay? They want you to come off like a bigot. And the problem is, when you use some of these words, it's easy to draw that conclusion. And again, I don't feel like it's a... If we believe what we say we believe, we don't believe human beings should be treated this way and should be called these names. You can disagree with what's happening in the streets of California. And I do. I don't want there to be riots. Look, California's my favorite place. I was in Los Angeles 3 weeks ago. I want to be able to take my family there, feel safe, and feel like things are going well. And I know that there is such political upheaval there, because you have a Gavin Newsom who is playing politics with people's lives. And then you have on the other side, the Trump administration, that sometimes can have issues because they maybe are a little callous in the way they talk and the way they move. It doesn't feel as strategic, even when I know it is. It sometimes comes off that way. So then you have this 80% still in the middle that are going, I don't know what to do here. I have compassion for people who want to come to this country legally. I have compassion for people who want to come to this country to seek a better life. However, I am not compassionate for people that are escaping prison time or escaping coming here to do damage, to rob, to steal, to murder, that we know have been caught. So maybe there can be that sort of correction point where we meet somewhere in the middle. That it doesn't always have to be these extremes. But it feels like to appease a party, you have to be extreme. John Fetterman's going to get slammed. They're going to say he is mentally incompetent now after everything he's gone through.
It's what they did when he was so pro-Israel. You started literally seeing articles in New York Times, New York Magazine, hit pieces from leftist journalists going after someone who beat Dr. Oz to be the senator of Pennsylvania. Yeah. They were calling him unfit for office. They've gone so much harder after John Fetterman because of his stances on some things that are common sense than they ever would have dreamed of going against President Biden.
Yeah, because he reaches somewhere into the middle, into a gray area that was not gray, by the way, a number of months ago. But for some reason is now. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Ken, who's calling in Nevada. I always appreciate Ken calling in, listening on the radio. Thanks, Ken.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. But we have supported the ACLJ for more than 30 years. We stood with Israel by standing in Israel with the ACLJ tour. And we want you to consider, if you're listening or watching, to support the ACLJ, because everything they do is in accordance with biblical principles. We have supported them whether we were working or now we're on fixed income. And we encourage you to support them, because both in the United States and worldwide, they support things that are based on Christian principles, and that is what we follow, and we desire to serve the Lord that way. Ken, we encourage you to support ACLJ.
Ken, thank you so much for calling in with the words of encouragement, the words of support. It's awesome that you joined us on those Israel tours so many years ago. I'd love to do those again. Obviously, right now is not necessarily the time to do it, but maybe there will be a time again, and we pray for it, where we can reopen those tours and start having those tours again to Israel. Maybe it's sooner than later. Maybe people need to see it. I tried to take our whole team to Israel because, look, I could see some of the anti-Israel bias creeping in. I could see people even, with their own team going, what were questioning what was going on in Israel. I said, you got to see it. You got to be there. You got to feel it. You got to walk through the Bible, then also see the political nature of what goes on there and the wars. But unfortunately, that was right in 2020, and we know all what happened there, and we haven't been able to reschedule that. So hopefully one day, Ken, we'll be able to return. You'll be able to return with us. And I thank you for that, because look, we try to do that. Nobody is perfect. Nobody can run an organization and everything hit exactly. But you know what? We try our best. We try best to be honest with you, Don. I really feel like that is what separated us and has separated us for so long at the ACLJ. Is we don't just cover the news. We don't just take things legally because we think it's a popular moment. We tell you the truth. And we also spin things through a biblical worldview that we believe in. And sometimes that doesn't line up with a political party. And that's okay. It's actually good. you know, your politics and your religion certainly are going to be tied together, because I understand your points of view are going to be reflected in that. And I think people that have try to pretend that they don't, that they don't influence each other, that's dumb. That's a worthless conversation, because they should. They should influence how you vote and what you believe in. However, it's also okay to not toe a party line, and not toe a line if you don't agree with it, or if you feel like your faith tells you otherwise. I want to hear from you on those thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. And look, the ACLJ is hard at work. There is a new case that, man, flashes back, it feels like, to the ACLJ of the early 90s. Another case, another Bible club. We're going to be talking about that very soon. My dad, Jay Sekulow, is going to be joining us. They just told me that. So there you go. He'll be joining us in the next segment to discuss the historical implications of this. And, of course, the future work of the ACLJ as we keep on going. Phone lines are open for you. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to tell you why you need to support coming up in just a moment. Welcome back to Sekulow. We're going to divert a little bit from what's going on in Los Angeles. And my dad, Jay Sekulow, is joining us right now, chief counsel of the ACLJ. And Dad, it feels like a big throwback to some of the old cases that we used to have. You think it'd be settled law by now, but Will, why don't you give us a recap of what this is, and then obviously we're going to get his feedback.
That's right. So this is a ninth grade student in New York at Carmel High School who wanted to have a Christian club, which is something that we will learn has been settled law for about 35 years, thanks to the ACLJ. But they kept pushing back. She finally was able to form this club, and she put up handwritten posters that talked about the Good News Club. It had Bible verse citations on it, not even the text of it. Said it was open to all, and said that people could join this Good News Club. The posters were torn down by the school because it had Bible verses on them. They forced her to change the name from Good News Club to something else. And then once she was having in this club a video series about spiritual warfare, about dealing with cultural issues and things of that nature, the school then stepped in and blocked that and said, we have to review any religious material to approve yes or no whether or not you can use this. There's a little case called Mergens that, Jay, you argued. Doesn't this seem to conflict with the outcome of that case?
Yeah, and that decision is, as you said, almost 35 years old. It was 8-1 in our favor. There was one dissent. It was Justice Stevens. And the Supreme Court unanimous, or 8-1, said that these Bible clubs have the right to meet on the same terms and conditions as any other club. And let me tell you what a school cannot do. A school cannot go in and review the religious content of the Bible club to determine whether they can have a meeting or not, because that not only violates the free speech and freedom of association, but that clearly violates the Establishment Clause and shows a hostility towards religion. So New York, interestingly, has been particularly aggressive even after multiple Supreme Court wins. We've had, of course, we had Mergens, which was out of Nebraska, but we also had a major case involving religion in the schools in New York at the Supreme Court about 3 years after Mergens, called Lamb's Chapel. And we won that one 9-0. But again, it took subsequent litigation for these New York school districts to comply. So this is ridiculous. This is settled law. And we're going to do whatever's necessary to rectify the situation for these students. But the school cannot be in the business of reviewing and approving content of a religious club. I mean, think about the Establishment Clause says there should be no entanglement with religion. And what's more entangling than we're going to review the contents of your prayer or the contents of your Bible verses you're picking? And then the destruction of the posters also violates both the Equal Access Act and the First Amendment's Free Speech Clause.
Show up, throw those posters up again if we could. I want people to see what we're talking about here. If you're watching, if you don't watch, you, by the way, you should, on ACLJ.org. There you go. The Good News Club. You know, come as you are, come join us on March 5th and, you know, in the room and all the information, John 3:16, Proverbs, Matthew, you know, very basic, normal kind of promoting, hey, we're not trying to hoodwink anybody. This is a Bible club. This is a Christian club here. Of course, their stuff was destroyed. And usually it comes down to some very overzealous members of the administration that come in and they've heard the term freedom of, or they've heard the term separation of church and state, but they don't even know what it means, Dad.
No, they don't. And this is such a clear violation of the Establishment Clause, which is where the whole relationship between church and state arrives out of. And they are taking every action in violation of that clause of the Constitution, whether it's the pulling down the posters, whether it's monitoring the content of the religious material that the group's going to use, or whether it's their meeting in the first place. So, you know, they're just totally wrong here. And again, you know, 35 years after Mergen's, you're still fighting over this stuff. But the truth of the matter is, we got to be vigilant. We're going to protect these students as if it was Mergen's all over again.
That's right. And it's even to bring that up, that Mergen's was even reaffirmed by the Supreme Court in a case that was Good News Club versus Milford School District. The irony that the club...
Yeah, we worked on that case as well.
Right. Yeah. The club is named the same thing that had a another Supreme Court precedent that affirmed Mergen's. How do these school districts think they can get away with this?
You know, it's interesting, and I hate to say it's a regional problem, but it is. And New York has been particularly hostile to these students who've had great impacts on their college, on their high school campuses, and they're just wrong. I mean, the school system is wrong, the administration is wrong, and we need to get these students justice, certainly before the school year begins again. We will have this rectified, no question about it.
And we have to say before we let you go, happy birthday to Jay Sekulow, to my dad. So happy birthday. Why don't everybody in the comments give a big happy birthday and a happy anniversary. Put those in the chat. You know, we'll make sure we get those all to you, because I didn't want to let this segment, you know, we talk about hard-hitting news, everything's going on, but it's your birthday, so make sure that we cover that. But it is so interesting that the ACLJ has to continually revisit. And this isn't just a once-a-year type situation. It feels like, though we have been at this, and you may not hear about it as much because we want to talk about what's going on at sort of the global stage. You hear about the very big work the ACLJ doing. Jordan is right now in Europe and dealing with the ECLJ. That's sort of the work we talk a lot about on the air because it does have this sort of global impact. But we are still out there at least reaffirming these decisions, because when a decision, look, we saw it happen with Roe versus Wade. When a decision is 35 years old, if you have a Supreme Court that has a different feeling, all of a sudden, that good work could be undone.
Well, exactly right. And that's why you got, I mean, vigilance here is critical. And I think we have a court that is very receptive to free speech and religious speech. And the truth is, as I said, we won Mergen's 8-1 and then subsequently Lamb's Chapel 9-0. So I'm very optimistic as to where it goes. But this is where our ACLJ champions and ACLJ members are making a huge impact, whether it is at the Supreme Court of the United States, the International Criminal Court in The Hague, or at the local school board in New York. The ACLJ and our teams are there, and we're making a difference. And none of that happens without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. And I just want to thank everybody for continuing support as we work on these very significant cases.
Yeah, absolutely. And hundreds of people are putting in happy birthday. A couple people did say, are you 70 yet? And I'll just say without saying anything, not quite. Almost. Not there yet. Don't age us all.
Pam, my wife and your mother usually takes the year and adds to it. So in her mind, I'm already approaching 70.
Yeah, I've said 40 for myself for the last year. I think it's easier just to round up at that point. You sound like a child when you're like, I'm 39 and a half. You know, this one is. Phone lines are, it's all inevitable. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call right now because we're heading into the second half hour. And in the second half hour, we're going to keep breaking down what's going on in California. We'll also talk more about the work of the ACLJ. We're also going to talk about Greta Thunberg and the selfie yacht. Now she is on a flight home. Of course, saying that, you know, what Israel did to her was not that bad. They captured her and they made her throw out her cell phone. And again, what could you do worse to an influencer than make them get rid of their smartphone? So again, Israel always feels like they're a step ahead in that way. Coming up, though, we're going to keep discussing that. And I encourage you, if you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting live right now. It's from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can work your way back. It is on ACLJ.org, on our YouTube channel, on Rumble. And later on, you can replay all of this immediately when we're done. So at any time, you can get it there or on your favorite podcast player. But of course, when you hear about this amazing work of the ACLJ, it's also because we need your support financially, because we don't charge any of our clients anything. We want to have the best of the best. We can't do it without you. Donate today. Help keep us in these fights at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with the second half hour. It's just a minute break. Don't go anywhere.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Stay on hold if you're on hold. We're going to reset a little bit as we take things back to California and now the divide that is happening between the right and the left, and even some on the left, like John Fetterman, who again has been a staunch supporter of Israel. Now, of course, he isn't someone who's going to vote for a lot of Republican causes. He's not a pro-life guy. He is certainly not he was against the big, beautiful bill and talked about the reasons because he doesn't want to see SNAP cut, a few things like that. That's not uncommon for John Fetterman, but he has taken an honest perspective. And I like that about him. Just like even you can disagree with someone completely, but if you believe they're at least being honest with themselves, I think that's a virtue. It's like Bernie Sanders. Disagree with maybe 100% of what he says. Maybe more than 100%. I don't know if that's possible, but maybe more than 100%. But you know who I think believes what he's saying? Bernie Sanders. I think John Fetterman believes what he's saying here. And he's saying that this is creating more rot within his party. And look, you saw what it looked like a couple years ago. And the Democrats had the opportunity to potentially stay in office for a very long time. And they couldn't keep it together. And these kind of things, when you see what's happening on the streets of California, you do get concerned and you do wonder what we're going to do to fix it and how do you do it and not be a PR nightmare on both sides. And John Fetterman is out there saying it, so you got to give it up for him for that. I want you to give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. I encourage everyone also who supports the work of the ACLJ. I appreciate the call, the comment that came in earlier that said, you know what? We know where you guys stand on all these issues. We also know that you're looking at things not just through a political worldview, but through a spiritual worldview. It's always been incredibly important to the work we do here. The most important thing isn't about politics or political party. Let's go to Michelle, who is an ACLJ champion. She is someone who has been supporting the ACLJ on a monthly basis. And because of that, one of the little perks that I just offer, just for fun, I don't think it says it on the website, which is if you call and you tell our phone screeners, I bump you up to the front. So you've only been on hold about 9 minutes. We have other people been on hold for over 20. So Michelle, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. My concern is that the issues in California that are unfolding are constitutional and they're not even partisan. Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 4 talks about having the uniform rule of naturalization, okay, the laws and all of those laws. That's a function of our Constitution. Then you move forward to same Article 1, Section 15. They're also to provide calling forth a militia to execute the laws of the Union and suppress insurrections and repel invasions. The government is the system of governance and administrators of county, state, and community and their laws. An insurrection is an uprising by citizens against civil and political authority, such as the government. An invasion is a hostile and violent entrance into a nation by a foreign nation. And we're supposed to have a militia of ordinary citizens. That's why we're supposed to have weapons of war to protect our states, because the federal government stipulated the state should have an organized and an unorganized militia. Then you move forward, and it talks about habeas corpus under Section 9, and a rebellion is an uprising of citizens against a civil or political authority, such as the government, and that the writ of habeas corpus is suspended in that case. There is no habeas corpus. If somebody has not naturalized as a citizen and taken an oath to uphold our Constitution, that's an invasion. That's why a militia is called forward. And under Amendment 14, Section 3, Governor Newsom
Michelle,
should be arrested.
I am only cutting you off, and I hate this because you're ACLJ champion, because we have less than a minute left in this segment, but I think we got what you're saying.
And Michelle was building towards the 14th Amendment, Section 3. Here's where I caution you. That's the exact same thing they tried to use against President Trump when it came to barring him from office. We had to fight against that. I understand what you're saying. I think what the president is doing right now, I don't think that they're going to be able to use that to get rid of Gavin Newsom or bar him from running for president. Nor do I think in this case he should. A lot of this is prosecutorial discretion that they are claiming under not going after because of the vast majority of the illegal immigrants they have there. Now, that's the wrong policy. And the federal government's doing the right thing at this point. But I don't think that using the 14th Amendment, Section 3, is the right call there for precisely the reason that we had to fight to make sure that President Trump was on the ballot.
That's right. Hey, some phone lines are still open. Give us a call. We got more coming up in just a moment on Secular. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And we wanted to discuss a little bit about that selfie yacht of what they've called it. Greta Thunberg making her way to Gaza, trying her best with a group of influencers, filling a small boat with a small amount of humanitarian aid to get some coverage. And of course, Israel said, yeah, we're going to intercept this boat. I don't think that's really proper for you to be doing it this way. And by the way, we're going to take the very little amount of supplies that you have on this boat, and we will make sure it makes it to the Gaza humanitarian funds, make sure it gets to the distribution points. So thank you for doing that. Now we're going to send you back your way on a plane back to your country. I know you don't want to fly, Greta. She doesn't like flying. She has some problems with it.
Well, you know, carbon footprint and all.
Carbon footprint.
I did see an image that where they placed her on the plane was on the back row, like with the lavatory behind her, so it has not a reclining seat. It was like just little needling things, you know.
Maybe that was all that was left.
No, I think it was a chartered plane that they were deporting them on. That's gotcha. What it looked like.
I'm not so sure, but I don't know.
Used to say.
But they did intercept that boat, and of course, a lot of people have said, you know, this is not what we need in terms of even people on the left or the pro-Palestinian side. There have been some that have said, hey, I can't believe it's egregious. They captured her. They kidnapped her. Of course, she said that in a pre-recorded video, but then was said, she was treated pretty well. Sit back home. They had to expect this. She's not a little kid anymore. You got to remember that, too. This is a grown woman now in her 20s. You know, it's easy to kind of remember her as the, how dare you? But that is not her now.
Could you do that one more time?
How dare you?
I like it.
Is that what she said? That's what she said, right?
I think it was that. Something like that.
Yeah. But that's your picture.
Right.
And she looks pretty much the same. But she is an adult. She knows what she's doing. She is a political activist and a bit of a stunts woman. And here is where it ends up being. Israel has to intercept this boat, take the small amount of supplies, and say, hey, throw out your cell phones, throw them overboard, or throw them in the middle here. Which will, you know, we know previously in the airports in Israel, they took your phone once.
They did.
You know what? They like taking phones.
And my SIM card.
Yeah.
You know, I got it back. I was like, where's my SIM card? I can't text.
It's pretty intense to travel in and out of Israel, you know, so it is what it is. Hey, we got some phone lines open, but I do want to take some calls. Let's go to Don, who's calling. You've been on hold for a long time. This is about California. We can pivot back a little bit. Don, he's been on hold for half an hour. Go ahead.
Calling from LA, the belly of the beast, ground zero. Oh, my God.
How's it feeling there, Don? Well,
yeah, we're so used to it in LA. What the heck?
I know. You're like, fires are just fires. There's fires naturally occurring, non-naturally occurring, burning cars. I mean, it's been a rough time for your area. Again, I was there just about a month ago, where a lot of this is happening right now is in downtown LA. And, you know, that's it's a beautiful place, and I really do hope the people like Rick Grinnell and some of our other team members can be a part of really getting California back on track.
Oh, amen. From your lips to God's ear. You know, but as I've been listening to this, you know, like our state attorney general is talking about suing President Trump's administration for, you know, sending in the guard. And my question is, why can't we sue the state, pursue them civilly, or prosecute officials for openly violating immigration law? I mean, didn't they used to call that nullification?
I mean, discussions are happening, Don.
Well, yeah, to Don's point, one, the citizens couldn't sue that they weren't upholding that. I think the federal government could probably make a case that they weren't upholding the law. However, there's a lot of prosecutorial discretion would be probably the defense of that. We only have limited resources. We focus our resources here, regardless of what they publicly say about policy in sanctuary cities, that a lot of that does come down to the with the resources they have, where they decide to focus it. But there is also the side of the Tom Homan, as well as members of the DOJ, even President Trump, of
throwing it out there.
We'll see if it happens. We do know that there was that member of Congress that was arrested for assaulting a federal officer. I think that was probably a little bit more clear cut and probably a better case. If it does happen, if there is taken the steps because of this feud, one, I think Gavin Newsom wants to be arrested because I think his superstardom within the
party. Well, he saw what happened to President Trump when he got arrested.
Exactly. Would just take off within the party, guaranteeing him the nomination because he would run with his mugshot on merch because they would try to take the playbook of the lawfare they did against President Trump. However, I also think that it would ratchet things up to such a fever pitch. I don't know how there would ever be a civil discourse. Not like there's a ton now between partisans, but I don't know that it would ever recover from that because that would take it up to another level. We'll see how it plays out.
Thanks, Don, for calling in. Let's take another call, and then we'll continue this discussion. Let's go to, I mean, this one ties in, so might as well, I guess, ask that question. D in California as well. I think, look, we had a lot of calls coming in from California today, and I wonder why. D, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is this. With all the deals that Newsom and also as well as the mayor of L.A. are just egging this on, what are the chances of them being arrested? Because I think if they are arrested, it might send a wake-up call to the Democratic Party that we the people have had it. We're done with it.
Well, I think you can see both sides of that, Dee, as Will was just saying, which is you could say that, but then, of course, does that become their greatest political win, if you will, because they're not going to be arrested and put in jail for an indeterminate amount of time. They'll be arrested, charged, and likely that is the end.
That's right. Now, President Trump did joke about it when asked by reporters. He said, if I would do it if I were Tom, saying arrest Governor Newsom, but then turned it into a joke by saying his primary crime was running for governor since he's done such a bad job.
Right.
So I don't know that the chances are high that it gets to that level. I know that the war of words is happening, but I don't know that they could actually show that the governor and Karen Bass, the Mayor Bass, have actually are using their police force or their power to obstruct the president's orders. They're fighting it in court. They filed a lawsuit yesterday. And so I think that is how they're playing it out. I think it would be very hard for now. They could probably arrest them, but I think that it would probably be thrown out and it would be kind of egg on the face of the administration if just the war of words is what they go off of to make an arrest like that. So you say, what are the chances? I think highly unlikely. I think that Gavin Newsom daring them to do that is what he wants. I think they also aren't going to give him that as well. So I think that you won't see that, but I've been wrong before on these things and kind of all bets are off in this situation.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Dee, for calling. We do want to take some more calls in the next segment. I want you to call in. It's been a great day of hearing from you all, and I'd love to hear from some more. We cleared out most of the calls. There's only a couple on hold right now. So 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. President Trump right now is taking questions in the Oval Office. We'll see if there's anything that we should be pulling and talking about this. He just called Governor Newsom, Will, grossly incompetent.
Not inaccurate. Not inaccurate. You have seen what has gone on in the state. Even listening to...
But somehow he survives.
You know, he's very slick.
He survived the referendum vote. Remember, that was right. Only a few years ago when they thought, oh, he's going down. And he survived with flying colors.
I would say that listening to that local news coverage the other night and hearing them talk about how the resources of the LAPD and the LA County Sheriff are so low right now. When the governor and the mayor were arguing the opposite on television, we don't need help from the federal government. We got it taken care of. But it was the local news reporters. And local news newsrooms in California are not conservative.
Right.
That's not the bastion of conservatism in the media. They were talking about how strapped for resources that the sheriff's department and the police department were, primarily because they had to divert so many funds to try and recover from the fires. So they were playing a shell game, having to move funds around, and that harmed the recruitment, it harmed the training, and the amount of police officers and resources they have. So that can go back to the mayor and the governor, even back to the fires themselves, saying they weren't prepared for that, that they're not preparing for the right things. They are kind of grossly incompetent when you think about the way it's been run. And there's a reason.
Well, you're like, I'm trying to come up with a word. What's the word? Grossly incompetent.
Well, it's been said before. Uh-huh. But when you also think about, if you live in the southeast United States, there are people coming in mass from California for the very reason, the leadership. They are leaving high taxes and poor leadership for a reason.
Yep, that's right. What do they always say? Don't make my Tennessee.
Don't California my Tennessee.
I see that sticker a lot, yeah. Which is fine. I agree.
100%.
Phone lines are open for you. I do want to take as many calls as we can. And look, the work of the ACLJ continues on. You've heard about our religious liberty battles over the years. And of course, we are back at it again. This time, another Bible club. You heard my dad earlier on. Again, it's his birthday. And celebrating his birthday, why don't you go back and listen to that segment? Why don't you continue to support the ACLJ? And if you could become a champion, it's a great day to do it on Jay Sekulow's birthday. Another ninth grader whose faith is under attack, who can't talk about her faith in her own Bible club. And we're going to fight for her, and we're going to win. And we can't do it without you. So go to ACLJ.org. Become a champion today. We'd really appreciate it. So do it. Give us a call also if you can. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up, last segment of the day, and I want to hear from you. All right, last segment of the day. Three lines are open for you. This is the time to call in if you want to be on the show. 1-800-684-3110. President Trump said he did call Gavin Newsom and said, do a better job, Gavin. You know what? He's a slick guy, Gavin Newsom. You watch those podcasts, and you get why people like him. You look what's going on the streets, and you don't get why people like him. That is as politician as you can be, who someone says, like the Wizard of Oz, don't look over there. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. But instead, he's like, I am the man behind the curtain, and look at our beautiful city. Watch it burn. And again, I love California. We have great supporters in California, including many have called today. It's also one of just my favorite places to visit. I love it there. All over Northern and Southern California, it's just a great place. But unfortunately, the leadership has caused a lot of issues. And I want to go to Al, who's calling in California right now. He's listening on the radio. Al, go ahead.
Yes. Question. Why doesn't the FBI director, Kash Patel, start an investigation on these NGOs and free border activists that are actually hiring these instigators that are causing these riots?
You know, Al, go ahead. I'll let you finish your comment.
Of L.A. was, if I heard him correctly, is saying they know who these people are. They're going from state to state, yeah, and instigating these riots or causing these problems. That's what he said.
Yeah, you know what, Al, you're right. And I do wonder why there hasn't been more attention put on that, because at least in the conservative news, the Fox News is who are going to say that. They're going to say, you can tell who's who, you can tell the masks, you can tell the motives, what they do, the organization behind it. And you know what that does is that really creates chaos that spurs through. I was listening to the Joe Rogan interview with Bono, and he talked about how evil, you can see it in a crowd. You can see it spread in a crowd, and how you can see how certain actors, are placed and they disperse evil. It's like being outside of a bar, I think he said, and someone's kicking somebody, and then all of a sudden everyone's kicking that person. There's a spirit that goes through it. And I think those people get in there, and I think you're right, Al, they get in there, they cause chaos, and what is supposed to be a quote-unquote peaceful demonstration, they can ignite that fuse that's in all of us somewhere that we have to fight back from, because it's easy to get swept up in it.
Well, and to your point, Al, I don't know that they aren't doing that. I think what is actually good about, to some degree, this new iteration of the FBI, what's refreshing, is they are transparent on things they need to be, but also they're doing the work. He's letting good cops be cops. That's kind of the mantra that he and Dan Bongino have said. I actually talked about Joe Rogan. I listened to his interview on Joe Rogan the entire 2 hours.
Cash.
Kash Patel's. It felt like only 30 minutes. It was so rich, compelling about talking about the failures of the FBI and what they're making changes to. And so, one, we already know that the FBI Los Angeles has put out wanted posters, and they're looking for specific individuals that have assaulted federal officers right now. So we know that the FBI is doing work there. I wouldn't put it past them to be looking, peeling back the onion and seeing where it all began. Until we have more information, I obviously can't say that for certain.
I feel like they have.
But I think if they were to put out, we are investigating these NGOs, I think that is a bad investigation, because then it sets off the subject that here's what's going on. We need to start hiding or trying to cover up. So I wouldn't put it past them. I think that Kash Patel, this is the very type of thing that he wants the police to actually be focusing on, not going into Catholic churches. He even talked about that on the Joe Rogan podcast. He brought up that very specific thing we've been fighting back against. So I really do trust what he and Dan Bongino are doing at the FBI.
Let's try to get to a couple more calls. Robert in California, ACLJ champion, getting bumped to the front. Robert, welcome back.
Good morning. I just wanted to thank you guys for all you do. I've been recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, so I appreciate your prayers.
Absolutely. We'll be praying for you now.
I wanted to say happy birthday, Jay. I know you're listening. And just thank you guys for all you do. I'm not far from the San Francisco riots that occurred last night. I don't know if you guys saw those clips, but rioting happened in San Francisco last night as well.
And Robert, well, I have seen your post actually on Rumble about your diagnosis and that you're a champion, and know that we here at the ACLJ will be praying for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That.
Look, when someone asks for your prayers, just stop right now. I mean, if you're driving, be careful. But you know, stop right now, say a prayer, pray for Robert and his diagnosis, and that he will be healed. And thank you, Robert, so much. Look, we love San Francisco also. It is a place I lived very briefly when I was very young, but we visit all the time. My wife and I love it there in Northern California. And it's unfortunate. I feel like they caught sort of the early aspect of all the chaos. A lot of it started, it felt worse in Northern California first. I feel like before it made its way to Southern California. So Robert, beautiful area of the world. And thank you so much for your support, and know that we really appreciate it. We're going to try to get to a couple more if we possibly can. Another Robert in California. I feel that Robert California is the one I'm used to hearing from Robert California. So Robert California, you're on the air.
Yes, yeah, prayers for Robert. My comments are that as a Christian, I mean, Kamala Harris, you know, how she went after David Dalyden with the Planned Parenthood thing, and the
right.
And Newsom's backed her up, and then stealing $950. We've had flash mobs, you know, breaking in, looting, squatting. So these the anarchist messages and the smirk I see, because there's a sense of spirit. We have discerning spirit. I sense the smirking anarchists everywhere. Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris. The laws that they write create so much inflation, by the way, that you can't even underwrite a, say, bonded labor and inflated materials for any public project or any even buying anything. You know, and getting insurance on your house. They've created the unlivability of California, and they've also created this sort of entitled socialist Fluffington marauding class of people that are going around and breaking stuff and being violent, and they make no sense.
Well, Robert, I hear you, and it reminds me of when the fires were happening. The smirk from Gavin Newsom when a mom whose child's school had just burned down comes up to him, and he said, she goes, "Where's the help? What are you doing?" He said, "I'm on the phone with President Trump right now." And she goes, "You are? Put him on the phone." He goes, "I actually can't get cell signal." So just the difference between what we're seeing from many people in the administration with transparency versus the lies of people that are career politicians that only want to look good for different people in that moment. And that is part of the problem, because it's their policies that are failing. It's not how polished they are on TV or on a podcast. It's the policies where real people are hurting, and they're not doing anything to change that.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Robert. We got a minute. We'll try to get to Susan, who's calling, or Suzanne in Texas. Go ahead, Suzanne. We were running out of time, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Richard, we're not going to be able to get to you today. Call me back earlier tomorrow. Suzanne, go ahead.
Yes, quickly. I'm probably just going to echo a previous caller. And my question is this. I'd like to know why we cannot, as we the people, do a class action. I left California, foster kid, aged out in that system, right into affirmative action, which was the birth certificate for the present-day DEI. And I've watched the systematic devolving into these dystopian toilets. So now I'm over here in Texas, 12 years, and I'm seeing similar trends already.
Suzanne, only cut you off because we got 45 seconds. I'm sorry, but Will's got an answer for you.
So generally, states can't be sued for not enforcing laws because of sovereign immunity. You can sue a state for violating your constitutional right or your civil rights, but not generally just an individual suing the state or a class suing the state because of the sovereign immunity doctrine. But the federal government can sue states and states can sue the federal government and vice versa. So,
all right, that's going to do it for today's show. Support the work of the ACLJ as you can. We're hard at work. We got lawsuits filing every day. Most days. I say most days. Maybe an over-exaggeration. Most days we got new lawsuits filing. And, of course, we're supporting your rights right now. Become an ACLJ champion. Scan that QR code. Talk to you tomorrow.